So today we're talking about the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. And it kind of reminded me of a Grimm fairy tale. How many of you people ever read Grimm fairy tales? What's your favorite Grimm fairy tale? Now. They're all so good. How about Rapunzel, since your hair is long? No, I'm just kidding. What about you? What's your favorite fairy tale from Grimm?
I was going to say Rapunzel.
Oh, I beat you to it. Dude. All right, so anyway, there's actually a compilation of Grimm fairy tales from the 1800s. These two German brothers, and they gathered all these fairy tales together. I think there's like 219 in the specific anthology that I'm thinking of. And I came across one of them that I thought fit very well with the theme of honoring your father and your mother. Let me read it to you. There was once a very old man whose eyes had become dim, his ears dull of hearing, his knees trembled, and when he sat at table, he could hardly hold the spoon, and he would spill the broth upon the tablecloth or let it run out of his mouth. His son and his son's wife were disgusted at this, so the old grandfather at last had to sit in the corner behind the stove, and they gave him his food in an earthenware bowl, and not even enough of it. And he used to look towards the table with his eyes full of tears. Once, too, his trembling hands could not hold the bowl, and it fell to the ground and broke. The young wife scolded him, saying, "You eat like a pig." But he said nothing and only sighed. Then they gave him a wooden trough, out of which he had to eat like an animal. Now once, they were sitting thus when the little grandson of 4 years old began to gather together some pieces of wood, constructing them on the ground. "What are you doing there?" asked the father. "I'm making a little trough," answered the child, "for father and mother to eat out of when I'm big." Be careful, the children are listening. Be careful, the children are watching. Let us stand as we read from God's holy word, the beginning of Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Give your full attention, for this is the word of the Lord. And God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Children are born into this world with two fundamental questions that they have to resolve. And a good parent will say yes to the first question and no to the second question. The first question is, am I loved? And the second question is, can I have my own way? Yes to the first, a big fat no to the second. Today, we are looking at the fifth commandment. And it is the first commandment that comes with an explicit promise of blessing if you actually do it. So, let us read in our bulletins the Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day that is associated with this particular commandment, and I'm going to ask Alan to read it for us. Lord's Day 39.
"104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us."
Patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. I think it's very interesting that the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism and also the Westminster Catechism and many other catechisms use this rule, this commandment, if you will, as a springboard from which they make the inference that God is calling us to respect all authority. And that is, I think, a very legitimate inference of this. But I'm not going to focus on that whole idea of societal authorities and our responsibility to respect and honor them. I think one example of that is very, very clear. Obviously, if there's speed limits and you decide that you do not need to honor and respect the authority of the country and you speed, you're going to get into trouble, okay? On several levels, obviously. But what I want to do is I want to focus on the idea of honoring our parents as absolutely important to God. Now, God designed life in such a way that we are born into families that enable us to live in this world, respecting, loving, and obeying our parents is all tied up, as the Catechism says, in the meaning of honor your father and your mother. Without parents, we wouldn't even be in this world. Let's be realistic. They brought us into this world, they fed us, they nurtured us, they protected us, they taught us the language, and they taught us their love for us. Now I pray that you have the privilege of being born and raised in a family where your mom and dad loved you. That is an amazing blessing. I do know that that is not always the case for everyone, and there are some very messed up family situations. And there's grace there as God the Father wants to reveal His Father heart for us. But I think that God planned that in the reflection of the love, the unconditional love of a mom and dad for their child, that we would see glimpses of God's love for us that would make us ask the question, am I loved by the one who made me? So, we have experienced this kind of unconditional love in this world, and Jesus makes reference to this in one of the Gospels. And remember, he said, now, who of you, if your son would ask for an egg, would give him a scorpion instead? April Fools! The joke's on you! Now, let me say this. In the Middle East, here's something that's interesting. There was a variety of a scorpion that was white, and it would roll up in a ball if it felt like it was in trouble. Guess what it looked like? It looked like an egg. Or, Jesus said, if your daughter asked for a loaf of bread, that you would give her a rock or a stone. Yet in another place, if your child asked for a fish, that you would give him a snake instead. No, it's all a rhetorical question. Jesus said, you would never do that. And you who are evil, now he's not saying that, you know, you're as evil as you can be. He's just making a juxtaposition and saying, you know, it's possible that parents are selfish and would do stupid things. I grant you that. But ordinarily, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that. He says, you who are evil, give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father, who loves you, catch this, give you the Holy Spirit. Whoa, where did that come from? Where? Jesus wasn't even talking about the Holy Spirit right then and there. And you're like, wait, I was expecting, you know, Jesus to talk about all sorts of amazing things that we get because our Heavenly Father is so good to us. And he focuses on one thing in that scripture, the Holy Spirit. And I'll get to that in a minute, why Jesus is focusing in on that as the ultimate good gift from our loving Heavenly Father. Now listen, my point there is that in some ways, we parents earn the respect of our kids, the love of our kids, when we do good things for them. Okay? The more we give them a scorpion instead of an egg, a stone instead of a loaf of bread, a snake instead of a fish, they're going to get gun-shy from us. And my prayer is that we would never pull those kind of crazy antics out on our kids. And why would we? Because we are radically for our kids. We love our children more than life itself. How many of you, as a parent, have ever said, when your kid was going through a difficult time, a struggle, you'd pray, Lord, just give that to me. I'll take that. We love our kids so very much. And that is something that God just designed in our hearts. We have unconditional love for our children. We love them because we love them. They're of us. And by grace, he gives us the ability to be able to do good things. Now, we had the privilege, Clint and I, to raise three kids, one of which is here today. And they're all in their 20s now. And sometimes we get asked by younger couples, what advice do you have for raising kids? I'm always a little leery about handing out advice because they'll say, now, things like, you know, should they watch a certain amount of TV or should we let them watch the internet or, you know, this or that or should they have a curfew? And you know what I say to all of that? Use your common sense. Just figure it out. But above all, please be consistent. Be strict or be, quote unquote, a lenient parent. I don't think that that matters. Okay, in the, like, who's to define what strict and lenient is in the first place? You know what I'm saying? But whatever you do, don't be capricious. Don't jerk them around. Don't say it's okay now and then not okay the next time and not have an explanation for that. So my prayer for young parents is that we would be very consistent in the raising of our kids. And there's security and there's comfort. There's just like the rails. Like, you know where the rails are, and you can hold on to the rails. Hopefully your parents are good in that way. And, you know, I just want to say, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're inconsistent, and sometimes we're, selfish, and we're messed up. So two words of advice from to our youth. You know, respectfully approach your parents and talk to them about that, okay? And parents, if you're wrong, admit it. Say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Remember, the children are listening. Remember, the children are watching. If you as a parent model that it's okay for you to be wrong and for you to ask for forgiveness, guess what? Your kid catches that it's okay for them to admit that they're wrong and that it's okay for them to say they're sorry. Because in that, there's a restoration of relationship and there is abundant health. That is a gift that we can give to our kids. So I want to encourage our youth. This is just a little special moment for our youth. Trust your parents. They are older than and wiser than you are. And I know that you may not agree with them all the time, but trust me, they are radically for you. Isn't it cool to have somebody who is radically for you? It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm on your team. I'm for you. But to be so radically, and of course radical, it's the root of things, down to the very core. I am for you. I am cheering you on. I will never stop cheering you on. And God has given us these parents for our benefit so that we can learn to trust and believe how to do life. Now, in this commandment, God is giving us a very simple formula for blessing. As I mentioned before, it's the first one with an explicit promise of blessing if we do the commandment. If we honor our parents, the scripture says, then he will bless us in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. Now, in that historical moment, they were going into Canaan. And Canaan was a land filled with what? Milk and honey. It was the promise of success and the sweetness of tasting the fruit of your labor. But you had to honor your parents. Now, we're not going into no Canaan. But what is our promised land? I think the metaphor there is life. Okay? Life. You want the best chance at a healthy life, my brothers and sisters? Then start, according to what God says, by honoring your mom and your dad. Incidentally, in many of the ancient codes, there's importance placed with this honor that is accorded. But so many times, it's just to the father. In many of these ancient codes, Babylonian, Egyptian, but here you see the Lord, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, isn't just saying honor your father, he's saying honor your mother. And I think that that's such a beautiful truth that we see already in the beginning of Scriptures and all the way throughout Scriptures. God elevates the status of the oppressed. Women in a society like this, they were oppressed. And God, in that moment, he's honoring a mom for her contribution in what it takes to raise a child. So that's just a beautiful aside. You want the best chance at a healthy life? Honor your parents. They will not steer you wrong. Listen, they taught you how to go potty. They cleaned up after you. They fed you. They taught you how to care for yourself, to communicate in the language. I read recently that there was some study that was done, and they wanted to see about how innate the concept of language was in the human brain. So the king decided that, I think it was in Egypt, and so some parents had the unhappy challenge of having to give up their child, and that child was put essentially in an isolation chamber away from all other human beings, and just see, you know, year by year. So whoever fed that child was not communicating in any way. Now that's a form of child abuse, isn't it? Because that child will be useless in the society. You have to learn the language to be able to communicate. And one of the first and most beautiful things that parents get to do with their kids is teach them how to say, Mama, Papa, Grandma, Grandpa. These gurglings that come out of the baby's mouth. You know, we emphasize certain words. And we strengthen certain concepts in their mind. And they start learning to speak the language. This is a gift that we give to our children, to be able to relate to other people. And essentially, mom and dad equip us with the skills that enable us to be successful in the land, in life. Now look at Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. And he learned obedience, the scripture said, to even his own parents. Recall the story when Jesus, who was about 13 years old at the time, went with his mom and dad and the rest of the village of Nazareth up to Jerusalem for the feast. And the mom and dad, they kind of lost track of Jesus and they didn't know where he was, but they just assumed that it was all good and that he was with other relatives. So they headed back after the day of the feast. And halfway back to Nazareth, they realized, where's Jesus? So in a panic, you can well imagine moms, what that would be like. You race back to Jerusalem and you're looking all over the place. And where do they find Jesus? In the temple. And what does Jesus say? Did you not know that I needed to be about my Father's business? Well, listen, he was keeping the highest religious leaders, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, in rapt attention as a 13-year-old kid with his understanding of Scripture. Okay? That's Jesus. In some ways, his spirit, the spirit of Christ, wrote the scriptures, so he would be like the expert on it. But I know that it sounds like a little bit of a rebuke when Jesus says, didn't you know that I was going to be about my Father's business? It sounds a little bit like a little tinge of something in there. But Jesus is just stating a fact. You know, Mom and Dad, essentially I've been given to you and entrusted to you for you to steward me. And now I've become a man. In the Jewish mind, in the Jewish way of thinking, when you became 13, you became an adult in the community. And he was just kind of very appropriately saying, I am to be about my Father's business. And this is the trajectory of where I'm going. When he was 30, he started his ministry. You'll recall the very first miracle that he did. His mom comes up to him and says, hey, Jesus, they ran out of wine. I know that you can set us up here with some good wine. What does Jesus say? Woman. Oh, yeah. He says, woman, it is not yet my time. So he's kind of like, again, in a little bit of a weird and harsh way, setting the parameters of the relationship. Hey, I am the Messiah. Mom, I just want you to be clear on that. You know, it's not yet my time. Okay, but what does he do? He does it anyway. That's his first miracle at the wedding at Cana. You know, it's like, I remember when I was about 18 years old and I had some Catholic friends and they were doing the rosary. And I'm like, what's the deal with the rosary? Well, you know, you're basically asking, you know, Mary to get you in good with Jesus. Because after all, you know, which son isn't going to listen to his mother? Well, you know, I'm not here to critique that. But I will say, through Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. Jesus is that mediator. Jesus is the one who came to be that bridge. So, you know, my opinion, I don't think that we need to pray to saints to get us in good with God, because we're already good with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Again, a little bit of an aside. But the point there is that Jesus has a respectful relationship with his parents. And that is a good example for us. In another place, you recall Jesus in Luke, he's talking about fulfilling the commandments. And somebody came up and said, well, listen, here's the deal. I have taken a lot of money, and I promised it to the temple for religious purposes. And it's called korban. So, and no one can touch it. And Jesus says, man, that's so messed up. Listen, he says to the Pharisees, you give people an out for your own financial advantage to be able to send money to the temple and the church. And then if they can't support their folks who need that, you say, oh, well, that's okay. Jesus said, don't you realize by making your own rules that you are subverting the commandment of God, which is honor your father and your mother. And that goes into old age. Those of us who still have the privilege of having their moms and dads around in old age, what a blessing it is for us to be there for them, to encourage them. Now, we live in a society that is kind of different than in Jesus' time. In Jesus' time, the kids were the retirement plan of the parents, right? And that's not that way now. For most of us who are getting older, it's a very important thing for us to set aside for our retirement so that what? We do not become a burden for our kids. And I think that that is an important and biblical principle. And it's in the scriptures in the New Testament. You know, it seems appropriate that parents give to their children rather than children give to their parents. But again, I just want to say, you know, and it's not easy caring for an elderly parent and going through the vagaries of life. As they struggle in their body, moving on toward the ultimate destruction of their body. And I just pray for those of you who are in that place that you would find grace and that you would find joy, tremendous joy, because God is saying, here's a promise for you. Honor your mom and your dad, even until they get old, until their dying day. Because I love you, and I want the very best for you, and I want to give you life, and I promise you that that is a pathway to life by honoring your parents. Now,
Here's a hinge in the sermon, because I'm going to go in a different direction. But I'm also going to say the fifth commandment is a hinge. Scholars tell us that the first four commandments are quite obviously about our relationship with God. And the last five are quite obviously about our relationship with our fellow human beings. But this one right here, the fifth one, has to do with our mom and dad. But hidden in that is also understanding that it has very much to do with honoring God. So you see how the fifth commandment then becomes a kind of a hinge from moving to a focus on what it looks like to honor God to a focus to what it looks like to honor your fellow being. So in this, there's tied up this reality. Now, I started my message by saying that there are two fundamental questions that every child that's born into this world has to answer and has to resolve in order to be a healthy human being. We need to know that we are loved unconditionally and that we cannot have our own way. Now, out of those two realities comes true freedom. The commandment is given to us for our freedom. And let us see the freedom that comes when we kind of live in that place where we understand, no, I can't have my own way, and that's actually a good thing for me. This focus on our parents, but also hidden in that, this focus on God, we see a direct parallel then between honoring our parents and honoring God as our Father. In the relationships that we have with our moms and dads comes the seed of understanding our relationship with God Himself. Consider this about life. Remember, I'm saying as a metaphor, Canaan for us is life. And we want to have a long and full and abundant life, don't we? We want to find meaning, we want to find purpose, we want to find joy. Now, without our parents, we would not even be alive. Without our parents, we wouldn't have stayed alive. Without our mother's love, we would never have experienced that bonding that is so necessary for us for social and mental health. And without the guidance from a father, we would never have learned the skills that we need to in order to succeed in life. Okay? It's all about life. And our parents did that on every level. And so too with God. And when we grow older and we resolve those two questions, am I loved and can I have my own way, we start asking more and deeper questions like, is there a God? And what's the meaning of life? Do I really need God to live? Do I really need God to be happy? Do I really need God to enjoy life? After all, think about it. We all live in America, and one of the founding documents says that what we're trying to pursue here, the American dream, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's in everything. The TV shows you watch, it's in the water, man. It's everywhere. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the world tells us that we can find all of those things apart from God. In fact, apart from God, when we're kind of released from this notion that there's this creator, then we can become our own creation, so to speak. Think about Solomon. Solomon had to resolve these questions. He wrote all about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. So he said, so I started pursuing things, knowledge. Man, I just filled my head with everything that was to be known. I pursued pleasure. Solomon himself had quite a few wives and concubines. But there were other levels of pleasure that he was pursuing. He pursued glory, building programs, campaigns. He took Israel and made it essentially a great nation. And what did he say about this pursuit of pleasure and power and money and knowledge?
All these things that are such alluring attractions all around us. He said, they all failed me. And it's something that I've said before. Any time that we get our focus on the idols, the things that God has made, instead of the one who made them, we go wrong. Because idols always overpromise and underdeliver. Only God can truly satisfy the deep longings of the human heart. And Jesus came to restore that. Because He is the way, and He is the truth, and He is the life. That's the life that we're seeking. Now, John explains the purpose of why Jesus came into this world. That we would have life, and that abundantly. Eternal life, spiritual life, born not merely of flesh and blood, as he says in the preamble there of John 1, or by the will of a parent, but born of the Spirit. John 1 verse 12, but to all who received Christ, he gave them the right to be called children of God. Spiritual life, my brothers and sisters. That is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he talked about his heavenly Father, when he said, you parents, you know how to give good gifts. How much more will my loving heavenly Father give you the gift of the Holy Spirit if you ask for it? Because bottom line, Jesus has come to give us life. Not just physical life, although that is true that he gave us that, for he is the author of all things, all created things. But he has come to give us spiritual life. And how does he do that? All we need to do is become born again. All we need to do is ask for the Holy Spirit. We enter into this new life, this life that God had always intended from the very beginning, the one that he had with our first parents, who incidentally disobeyed their loving Heavenly Father and set us on a trajectory of destruction. But Jesus came to reset that. Jesus came to rescue us from that course of death and destruction and gave us the way to the Father, that as we honor the Father and the Son, we find blessing in the land. We find true life. But our Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father, by His Spirit and through the grace of Jesus Christ, did come to undo that curse. Because He's giving blessings here. He's undoing the curse in His Son, Jesus Christ. And my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this table, which Jesus celebrated that night, we're reminded of what happened just after he partook of this with his disciples. Do you recall that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane? And in anguish of soul and bitterness of spirit, and with literally blood pouring out of his pores, he said, God, is there no other way? I don't know that I can do this. The anguish of soul, the rejection by the Father. And yet he said, as he honored his Father, not my will, but thy will be done. For this is the very reason that I came, to rescue all that would become the children of God. And that is what we are. My brothers and sisters, we are the children of God. And may we honor Him with our life and our words and our very being. And as we come to this table, may we receive the life that He offers. May we be reminded again in that mysterious way that none of us can understand, that He preaches to us through His poured out blood, through the body that He gave for us, that we are forgiven and that we belong to Him as beloved children of the Father. Amen.